We are turning this morning for our scripture reading to the book of 1 Thessalonians. This is the time of the year when so many people get congested. And I think that part of my trouble is the tightness of my tie. So we're going to read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I don't know if you ever noticed the sign outside. I didn't have any idea that the verse on the sign was going to be our text. So we're reading in the fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, beginning with the first verse. Let us hear the word of the living God. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen. We end our reading there at verse 18, and we trust that the Lord will bless His word to our hearts today for Jesus' sake. We are especially glad to see Joy Black today, that Joy is able to be here. Trust the Lord will continue to minister to her. I'm glad she's not in the hospital. She's able to be here. Please continue to pray for her. Now, we have a little problem that sometimes I ask my grandchildren after the service, what did the preacher preach about today? Well, I had one grandson, not here today. He was able to tell me what I was preaching about. I was very impressed. So we have a little visual aid here today. This picture is the Caspian Sea. The Caspian Sea is the largest landlocked lake on the face of this planet. And it, like the Dead Sea, which is in Palestine, both of these seas are called by the geologists Indo-Riddick. And that large geological word is a combination of two Greek words. And it simply means that the water that runs into that sea, or the rain that rains into it, has no surface outlet. The water goes into the Dead Sea, stops right there. The water that goes into the Caspian Sea in a very deep basin stops there. Now it does seep. It does evaporate. But that's all they can account for. There may be something subterranean. But it's most interesting that the areas around the Dead Sea and around the Caspian Sea are very much alike. They are arid deserts. Now you see there are several countries surrounding the Caspian Sea. That land around the Caspian Sea averages 4 inches of rain in a year. That's not very much. Here in Alabama, we can get anywhere from 50 to 70 inches of rain in a year. Thankfully, we're not a desert. You may feel like we are sometimes. But the Caspian Sea is bordered by Russia, by Iran, by Turkmenistan, and Kazakhstan, and another country that I won't even attempt to pronounce. And those countries need water. And those countries need the water of life. They need God's saving grace. They need the gospel. And how thankful we need to be, because we are not living in a desert. And we have free access to the gospel, such as you have this morning in this house. But having said that, let us think about thanks. Having talked about the Caspian Sea, let us think about thanks. Are we like the Caspian Sea? Always receiving, but never or seldom giving to those that are around us that are in need? How often are we even giving praise and thanks and glory and blessing to the Almighty Triune God for the abundance of His goodness and His constant giving to us? This morning, let us look at one verse here. And we'll come back to the Caspian Sea. But let's look at this one verse. Verse 18 is our text. We weren't able to get it all on the sign, but we got the gist of it there. Verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And of course, the preacher would point out three things about this verse. First of all, the extent of our thanksgiving. What does he say? In everything, give thanks. Secondly, there are particular reasons for thanksgiving. And they are personal. And they are general as well as personal. But notice the scripture says, concerning you. There are things concerning you, concerning me, that we can be very thankful for. And there are reasons that we will consider for thanksgiving. And then thirdly, the supreme motives for giving thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. So first of all, the extent of our thanksgiving. In everything, give thanks. Let us praise Him for His bountiful providence toward us. Unlike those countries around the Caspian Sea, we are blessed with plenty in this land. We have every reason to be thankful. We live not only in a land of plenty, but a land of relative peace. We hear about tragic things. We hear about things that disturb us. But generally, we live in a land of relative peace. We have a multitude of opportunities. Multitude of opportunities before our young people and our children for the future, for jobs and for growth. Let us give thanks to the Lord and for the multitude of His daily benefits. Not only are we to thank and praise Him for the blessings that we enjoy in this country, but we are also to praise Him for what He is doing among all nations. How often do we thank God for what He is doing among all nations? Is not the Lord infinitely wise? Is not His providence almighty? Is His providence not successful in His work in the world? The Holy Spirit commands us through the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, to give thanks for all men. Let us give thanks to the Lord, not only for what He does in regard to all people in all places, but also thank Him for what He does in all ages, in all time, in all of the centuries of history. What is Psalm 136 about? It is a psalm believed to have been written by David. That's what the great scholar Dr. John Gill believed. Spurgeon believed that Psalm 136 was sung regularly in Solomon's temple. And this Psalm 136 is a psalm of praise and thanksgiving for God's mercy upon His people in centuries past. So a part of our thanksgiving is not just for God's blessing on us and not just for the people that are all over the world and the nations now, but also to give thanks to God for history and what He has been doing through the centuries of time. Oh, how we can thank God for our history, for God's providence in Europe that brought our ancestors here to make a fresh start. We can give God thanks for where we are because of what He did there 500 years ago. 400 years ago, 300 years ago, 200 years ago. It was in 1876 that I believe He brought the last of our mob here. And we are very thankful to be here. God's providence is good. Let us thank God in all circumstances, even when our circumstances are very difficult and very hard to bear. What does He say? In everything, give thanks. When we suffer loss, we are to give thanks. Ours is definitely not as bad as Job's was. And yet Job, when he had lost all of his children, all of his possessions, and even his health, what did he do? He said, "The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." When we are mistreated, when we are lied about, let us remember our Savior. For no one has been mistreated, and no one has been lied about, and no one had sorrow that can compare to His sorrow. So what does He tell us? First of all, in this verse, we are commanded in regard to the extent of our giving thanks. Amen. In everything, give thanks. We've looked only at this briefly, but let's go on now. Secondly, to the reasons for thanksgiving. What does he say in this verse? It is concerning you. Concerning you, concerning me. We have reasons to give thanks. Let us just note what we have in this one little letter of 1 Thessalonians. We don't have to go outside it just to see a multitude of reasons for giving thanks. Chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians records continual prayer and intercession made in behalf of those believers. Well, isn't it amazing that we have continual intercession made on our behalf? Amen. And the greatest intercessor of all is ever living specifically for that purpose, to make intercession for us. He's not praying for everybody. Jesus said it himself, I pray not for the world, but for those that thou hast given me. Oh, does that do something to you to realize that even though there's a bunch of poor, benighted, lost people that will never know God, my heart goes out to them. But my Savior said, I'm not even praying for them, but I'm praying for you. Wow. That tears me up. I praise God that He makes intercession for us personally and individually as His people. That's amazing. John 17:9, he said it. I didn't say it. I'll say what he said. So we have this wonderful intercession made. In chapter 1, also, the genuine evidence that they were the elect of God is given because of their changed lives. There was that evidence there. Oh, how they could give thanks to God that there was some evidence in their lives. Chapter 2, God had blessed those people with Paul's faithful and honest ministry. Don't you know there's a bunch of people then wanted to dig up some dirt on Paul, sling dirt all over him because he's a man of God standing for the truth. Throw that guy in jail. This guy's something wrong with him. Yeah. Thank God for his faithful, honest ministry he had. He wouldn't be a financial burden to them. He labored at tent making the whole time he was there among them. And the Thessalonian believers saw him as an example. And he said in chapter 2 that these believers were his joy, his glory, and his crown. In chapter 3, young Timothy was sent to minister to them. Chapter 4, Paul taught them the meaning of true holiness. And that the believers, that though the believers depart this life, they will return with Christ at his second coming. And then in chapter 5, we read, don't be troubled by some regarding Christ's second coming, don't be disturbed. You know it's going to be sudden. You know it's going to be unexpected. So go on living and walking close to the Lord. We have the same reasons to be thankful that those Thessalonian believers did. The best intercession is continually being made for us. We thank God for the encouragement and doctrines of this epistle. We are glad to have solid, clear instruction about Christ's second coming. Because of these blessed realities, we are to rejoice evermore. We are to pray continually for the advancing of the kingdom of grace, and we are to be thankful for it all. So we have looked at the extent of thanksgiving. In everything, give thanks. We've looked a little at the reasons for thanksgiving concerning you. All these are very personal and applicable for our life. Now, finally, the supreme motives for being thankful. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Two things there, you see. For this is the will of God, and it's in Christ Jesus. Yes, this is a very clear matter. It's the will of God for His people to be a thankful people. Amen. It didn't start in Thessalonica. Way back in the Psalm 34 and 35, I am so thankful for the emphasis that was pointed out to me years ago. Psalm 34, verse 1, David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's the way it ought to be. You go to the very next Psalm, 35, the last verse. And what does he say? He said, my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Good way for us to spend our time. It is the will of God that we be giving thanks continually. That would save us a lot of trouble. If we were busy giving Him thanks, we wouldn't be so busy doing things that we ought not to be doing. Okay, now, this is a very clear part of our sanctification. If you go back one chapter to chapter 4 and verse 3, the Bible just says it as plain as this nose on my face. For this is the will of God. What? Even your sanctification. Chapter 4 and verse 3. What is the will of God? Our sanctification. Our becoming more holy like Him. Now, this is a very clear part of our sanctification. Giving thanks to Him. It's the will of God. And the will of God is our sanctification. It is God's will that His blood-bought children live holy lives, pure lives, apart from the filthiness of sin. Thank God for a mind that doesn't want to know all of the wretched perversions that men and women and young people and children are drinking in, even at this very moment, from the polluted sewer of the every day and every night on the filthy television and websites and in other ways, things that are written that are so ungodly and mind-defiling. What a pitiful thing it is that billions of dollars are being made in this perverse filth industry, including pornography and all of the obscene, horrific writings in this once Christian nation. Ephesians 5 verse 3, right here. Ephesians 5 verse 3, just back a little ways. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 3 says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Saints are sanctified ones, those that are becoming like the Lord and more holy like Him. It is the will of God that sin's filth not be in our minds, not be in our mouths. Let it not be once named among you. Certainly not in our habits or in our actions. The will of God is His having a holy people. Christ told Nicodemus that he couldn't enter, nor could he even see the kingdom of God to enjoy it without being born from above. So Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, how absolutely important the will of God is in regard to holiness. What did he say? Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. That's very plain. Without holiness, without purity of heart and life, without a change to what's in us naturally, no man shall see the Lord. Now I ask you then, can you trace a holy change in your life? Has there been a point where things have changed since you profess to have come to Christ by faith? Can you trace holiness? Do you have any hunger for God? Do you have a desire for Christ? Robert Murray McShane prayed, O Lord, make me as holy as it is possible for a saved sinner to be. Is there anything in your life that echoes amen to that? John wrote much about assurance. And John said in 1 John 3:3, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. There is a purifying effect.
That's right.
The will of God is for our sanctification. It is for us to be living thankfully. And I can guarantee you that every holy person is a thankful person because we have been given the grace of salvation, not because we've earned it, not because we deserved it in any way, but because of God's sovereign goodness and mercy. Verse 18 says, it is the will of God in Christ Jesus. What amazing words those are. In Christ Jesus. What a safe, eternal resting place that is in Christ Jesus. Oh, what grace is seen in the will of God in Christ Jesus. That God the Father would part for a season with His well-beloved Son to send Him down to this vile, corrupt earth. And you know, human nature's not changed as far as ungodly man goes. It's in Genesis 6:5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And what vile filth in this world for our Savior to even come among such vile sinners. I love the words of Luther that we have been singing. We're not going to sing it now, but I want to share with you what he said here, which is so true about our Savior. God beheld my wretched state before the world's foundation, and mindful of His mercy's great, He planned my soul's salvation. A father's heart He turned to me, and from my woes to make me free, gave up His dearest treasure. He did. He said to His beloved Son in accents soft and tender, 'Tis time the battle should be won. Thyself shalt thou surrender. O brightest jewel of my crown, do thou to wretched man go down, both sin and death to conquer. I'm thankful that He came to conquer my wretchedness and my sin. The Son obeyed the Father's voice, and born of virgin mother, He of His own free will and choice became my friend and brother. He hid His power from Satan well, that he, the crafty foe, might fail and bring him low forever. He said to me, do not despair, my help I freely offer. Thy misery I came to share, myself for thee to proffer. Thou shalt be mine as I am thine. My love shall e'er thy soul entwine. The foe shall not divide us. The foe will shed my precious blood, though ne'er his aim achieving. I but endure it for thy good, from death thy soul relieving. My life shall swallow death for aye. My innocence thy guilt shall pay. Thy faith in me shall save thee. Hallelujah for those wonderful words. Praise God that our Savior came into this wicked earthly scene to live, to suffer, to bleed, to die, and to live again, so that the will of God in Christ Jesus could be ours. We started today with the Caspian Sea. Remember, children, the Caspian Sea. As Spurgeon said in his little book, Nature's Teachings in the Kingdom of Grace, God has graciously given and continues to give to us in a multitude of ways. But many people, and perhaps you, or one of them that live as though you are the Caspian Sea, always receiving the waters in. There are many rivers that run in to the Caspian Sea, the Volga River, the Ural River, the Kura River, the Terek River. But that sea never gives out the blessing into the arid desert land around it. What egotistical and selfish people those are who take and take and take the blessings of Almighty God and never give out a word of kindness to the needy, never a gospel tract to the lost and dying, and not a heartfelt daily praise of thanksgiving to God for all His marvelous goodness. Let us pray together. Let us pray. Oh God, our Father, we have every reason to give Thee praise and thanksgiving continually. Lord, Thou hast blessed us. We thank Thee especially for Thy Son. And Lord, I know that even as I endeavor to walk with Thee and to be a holy man, oh God, I grieve over the sin in my own heart, oh God. I look forward so much to that day when I'll never sin anymore. God, hasten that day. But Lord, we thank Thee that the Savior came into such a world as this to save such wretched sinners as we are by nature. So Lord, we pray that Thou wilt indeed make us a thankful people. Thankful for the Savior, thankful for the gospel, thankful for the great work that has been done in our behalf, the great shelter and refuge for our soul's salvation in Christ Jesus. Lord, we would in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. Amen. And now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Amen.